Today's Amud is Yevamos Daf Samach Amud Aleph. We're holding on Nun Tes Amud Beis, about 7-8 lines from the bottom, by the words Tan Rabbanon. So says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Anusas Atzmai Umafutas Atzmai. Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol who, as we've mentioned, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Be'ula. A Kohen Gadol has a Isser Aseh. The Torah says he has to marry a Besula. We darshan from there, but the diak is that he has to marry a Besula. He's not allowed to marry a Be'ula. He has an Isser Aseh. He's not allowed to marry a Be'ula. Says the Braisa that Anusas Atzmai Mufutas Atzmai. Let's say a Kohen Gadol was Ma'anis or Mefata, a woman. Aine says by force. Mefuta means that he convinced her. Either way, if let's say a Kohen Gadol does that to a woman, and then he marries her, so the halacha is lo yisa, he's not supposed to marry her, even though normally the halacha is, the Torah says, v'lo yisi elisha, that if a person's ma'anis or mefatis a woman, so he has a chiyuv to marry her, assuming she consents, if she wants it, so then he has a chiyuv to marry her. When it comes to a Kohen Gadol, being that he's not allowed to marry her, because she's no longer a besula, she's a be'ula now, so lo yisa, he's not supposed to marry her, v'im Nasoi. But if he did, so fine, he did. We'll see soon what that means. Anusas chaveiroi, umafutas chaveiroi lo yisa. He's also not allowed to marry someone, a woman who someone else was ma'anis or mefata. If someone else is ma'anis or mefata, a woman, so the Kohen Gadol is of course not allowed to marry her, because she's no longer a basula. Ve'im nasa. And let's say he was over and he went ahead and married her and he had a child. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Aimer have lad chalul, that the child is going to be a chalul. Meaning we know when it comes to other Isurim of a kayin with a grusha, a kayin with a chalutza, or a kayin gadol with an amanam. We'll see about an amanam. The shayla is over here by a besula, does that create a chalol? An amana creates a chalol, a grusha and a chalutza create a chalol, but those are olay sases. What about the iser asay of a kayin gadol to a beula? Does that create a chalol? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that yes, a vlad chalol, and the chachamim aimer ma vlad kasher, that no, the vlad is going to be kasher, and we'll see soon in the Gemara exactly what the machlaikas is. But they have a machlaikas in such a case where a Kohen Gadol marries a Be'ula and has a child, so it's a nusas atzmai, it's a mefutas atzmai, the woman's not an almana, she's not a grusha, she had the baby, she became a Be'ula without a marriage, she became a Be'ula rather without a marriage. The shayla is if the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and marries her, does the child become a chalol? So that's a machlaikas. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that yes, the vlad is a chalol, and the chachamim say that no, the vlad is going to be kosher. So now the Gemara is going to go on to explain the different pratim that were mentioned in the Braisa. So first, the Braisa had mentioned that even though a Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry Anusas Atzmai or Mefutas Atzmai, even though normally there's a mitzvah of Veloy Si Elisha, a Kohen Gadol who has to marry a Besula, he has an Isra Asay, he's not allowed to marry a Be'ula, so he does not have a mitzvah to marry Anusas Atzmai or Mefutas Atzmai, and if he does, so the Braisa says, Vim Nasa Nasa, if he did, so he did. Now Rav said that Umaitzi begat, that he still has to divorce her. The marriage is chal, but he has to give her a get, he has to divorce her. So says the Gemara, Velohadi Katani, Ve'im Nasa Nasoi. So what does it mean? Meaning the Braisa makes it sound like that we recognize this marriage as being like a kosher marriage. If Rav is telling us that really he has to divorce her, so then what does the Braisa mean when it says Ve'im Nasa Nasoi, that the marriage is recognized? In what way is the marriage recognized? We don't recognize it, we tell him to divorce her. So what does it mean when the Braisa says Ve'im Nasa Nasoi, Amr of Acher Bar Yaakov Vuloimer? It means to say She'ein Meshalem Kenas B'mefuta. What it means to say is that the Kohen Gadol does not have to pay the kenas of a mefuta. Meaning, so as we've spoken out, that normally if a person's ma'anis or mefata a woman, so there's two things that he's punished with, so to speak. Number one is that he has to pay a kenas. He has to pay a kenas of 50 kesef. Number two, by an aines, so he pays the kenas no matter what. He has another thing of v'loy si elisha, he has a mitzvah to marry her. Now, by aines, he pays the kenas and he has this mitzvah to marry her. By a mafute, so the halacha is that he only pays the kenas if he doesn't marry her. If he marries her, so then he's pater from paying the kenas. He's pater from paying the 50 kesef. So that's what Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says, that's how he wants to explain the braisa. that even though it's true, we don't really recognize the marriage in the sense that we're not okay with it, we tell him he has to divorce her, but there is a certain sense that we recognize the marriage, and that is by the case of Mefuta, so he said that he doesn't pay the kenas if he gets married, this is called they got married, even though we're going to tell him that he has to go ahead and divorce her, Lemaisa, this is considered that they got married, and now he's not going to have to pay the 50 shekel, the 50 shekel for the kenas, because now he ended up marrying her. Now, Taisa's asked an interesting kasha, is that, if he's going to be putter from paying the kenas, but now that he married her, so now he has to pay her a ksuba. And now that he has to pay her a ksuba, so anyways what? It sounds like Taisa is saying, he has to pay her 50 shekel. Now, that's assuming that her ksuba is worth 200 zuz. 200 zuz is 50 shekel, meaning that she has the ksuba of a basula, which is very interesting, because in this case, he married her when she was a ba'ula. The ksuba of a ba'ula is only 100 zuz, is only 25 shekel. So it's interesting. Taisus asks that the lakilu, what nafkamina does it make? The fact that now we're recognizing the marriage, and now he's going to be putter from the kanas. In fact, Taisus, anyways, if we're recognizing the marriage, he's still going to have to pay her 50 shekel, because now he owes her a ksuba. So Taisus seems to be learning, at least in their kasha, that the ksuba for a mafutas for Bu'ulas Atzmai is actually worth the Biksuba of a Besula is worth 200 Zuz and not 100 Zuz. Bez Hashem and Darais al Halacha will discuss this matter at great length. Al Kopanim, so says the Gemara, says Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, to explain when the Braisa says, Nasoy, it means that we recognize the marriage to this extent that even though we're going to make them get divorced, but Lamaisa, it's considered that they got married and now he's going to be pater from paying the kenas of a mafuta. Says the Gemara that Azul Rav Gvia mi Beik Seal and Amra Lishmaitza Kameder of Ashi. Rav Gvia from Beik Seal, he went ahead and he said over this Shaklavataria to Rav Ashi. And Amar Lay and Rav Ashi questioned him. Rav Ashi said, how could it be? Vaharav Rav Yechanan Dami Tervayu, Rav himself, Rav and Rav Yechanan both said that by Geras and Mukas Eitz, Lo Yisa, Ve'im Nasa, Nasoi. They both said that even though a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Baigeres because she doesn't have all her Besulim intact, and he's not allowed to marry Mukas Eitz who lost her Besulim even though it wasn't a Maisabiyah, even though the Kohen Gadol has an Isser of marrying these people, they're considered a Ba'ula with regards to this Isser, still, Ve'im Nasa, Nasoi. If he does marry them, so then they're married. And we don't force them to get divorced. It can't be that he doesn't pay the kenas. There's no kenas in this case. So it must be over here when it says v'imnasa nasoi, it means that he's going to be put, that he doesn't need to divorce her. So Alma, what do you see from here? That even though there was an iser initially for the Kohen Gadol to marry such a woman, still saifa liyos begeres tachtav. Still, Lamaisa, once he does marry her, so we allow him to stay with her because there's a svara that anyways, once he marries her, she becomes a baigeres. Even if he marries a naira, even if he marries a katana, she's gonna eventually become a baigeres while she's married to him and he's allowed to stay with her. And saifa liya is mukase is tachta. And anyways, even when he marries a basula, eventually the basulam are gonna go away. He's gonna be together with her and he's still allowed to stay married to her. So therefore, since when it comes to these things anyways, they're things that are inevitable, they're going to happen while he's married to her, so therefore we don't make him divorce her if he went ahead and married her in such a case, even though he wasn't supposed to. So Achanami, we should say the same thing over here in our case of Mefutas Atzmai and Anusas Atzmai, that Seifa Eliya is Ba'ula Tachtav, that we should allow them to stay married. How could Rav say that even though it says Nasa Nasa, we make him get divorced, why should we make him get divorced? L'chayr, we should say the same Sfarah that Rav himself said about the Mukas Eitz and about the Baigeres, that since Saifa Liyais Baigeres Tachtav, Saifa Liyais Muchas Eitz Tachtav, here too also we should say Saifa Liyais Ba'ula Tachtav. And that she was anyways going to inevitably become a ba'ula while married to him, and therefore we should not make them get divorced. This iser should not be considered a chamer to that extent that we should make them get divorced, to which the Gemara says that kasha, it's a good kasha, why taka, why we don't say this far. Meaning it seems to be a stira in Rav. On the one hand, Rav tells us that if the Kohen Gadol was over on the iser of that he has to marry a ba'ula, and he married a ba'geres or mukas eitz, so there we say that he's allowed to stay married to her, yet if he marries Anusas Atzmai, Mefutas Atzmai, the Rav says that we make him divorce her. Why L'chayra should be the same? Now, the kash is a little bit shver, the Ritva points this out, because if we're going to go with this type of Sfara, so then it should even be by Anusas Chaveray, Mefutas Chaveray, that he should be allowed to stay with her, because Seifa Liyais Ba'ula Tachta. Why is this only a kasha on Rav, why is this only a kasha on what Rav said about Ulas Atzmai, Futas Atzmai, if we're really going to go with this Sfara, so then this should be a hector even for Bulas Chavera, Yemefutas Chavera. Could be maybe in a Hanami, that's why the Gemara says kasha. The Gemara doesn't say it's a Tiofta. Clearly there's a difference between something which came Aidea Maisabia, a Bulas Chavera, or Bulas Atzmai, versus a Bagaris, a Mukas Eitz, which didn't come through a Bia. Maybe that's why it's not a Tiofta, it's just a kasha. Al-Kabanim says that's what the Gemara asked, and the Gemara leaves it as a kasha, how to reconcile these two halachas from Rav. The Braisa then said that Nusas Chavira, Umafutas Chavira, Layisa, it said that a person, a Kohen Gadol, is not allowed to marry a Nusas Chavira or Umafutas Chavira. Again, of course, he can't marry someone who was married to another man and became a Bula, because how did that marriage end? If she became an Amana, if she became a Grusha, either way, now she's a Laisa, say, and she's Aser to him. So, of course, if you would marry her anyways and have a child with an Amana, with a Grusha, that for sure the child's a Chol. Over here, the Shaila was, is she didn't have the, she was never married to another man. She became a Bu'ula without marriage. She was a Mefutas Chaveray. She was a Nusas Chaveray. So now she's a Bu'ula, but she's not an Amana, and she's not a Grusha. What's the status of the child born from a Bu'ula? So that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Aymer Avlad Chalo, V'chachamim Aymerim Avlad Kasher. So that was a Machlokes Tanaim, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that the child's considered a Chalo, and the Chachamim said that no, the child is going to be Kasher. Again, about it's Aser for the Kohen Gadol to marry her. It was Aser for him to be with her, because she's a Bu'ula. The Shaila is, does the child become a Chalo? So now, says the Gemara, that Amar Avuna Amar Rav, Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that the child's a chalal, which makes a lot of sense. We know Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is kavanaki. So v'chein amar Rav Gid al marav halacha, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that the child is a chalal. Now we could argue some have a different version that Rav Huna amar Rav wasn't just paskening like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but rather amar Rav Huna amar Rav my time with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He was coming to explain that what's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Why does he hold that the child in such a case is a chalal because Savarla Rabbi Lazar? It's because he holds like Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Lazar that we mentioned previously on the Testament base, that Rabbi Lazar Shita is that Panuya Bala Panuya, the woman becomes a Zaina. So in this case, it's not just Stam that she's a Ba'ula. She's more than just a Ba'ula. She has a Laisase on her because she's a Zaina. Because it's true, she didn't become a Manu or a Grusha. She was never married. But upon Habala Panuya, that relationship that she had with another man, that turns her into a Zaina. So when the Kain Gadol then goes ahead and marries her and has a child, the child is the child of a Zaina. Of course the child's gonna be a Chalal. We're not discussing the child of a Ba'ula, just a plain Ba'ula. We're discussing the child of a Zaina, so that of course everyone would agree that the child that the Kain has with a Zaina is a Chalal. And it's just that Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov holds, like Rabbi Lazar, that Panuya, the woman becomes a Zaina. That's why he held in this case that the child is a Zaina. It's not because Be'etzem he holds that the child of a Bu'ula is a Zaina, it's because he holds that, like everyone does, that the child of a Zaina is a Chalal, and he happens to hold like Rabbi Lazar, that in this case the woman is a Zaina, and that's the Machaikas. The Chachamim say in this case, the woman's not a Zaina. Panuya bala panuya, as usher as it is, it doesn't make the woman into a Zaina. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds it doesn't make her into a Zaina. So Mamela, that's why he holds it makes the child into a Chal. However, ask the Gemara, could it really be that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds like Rabbi Lazar that Panuya bala panuya, the child, the woman is a Zaina? V'hakaymul on Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov kavanaki. We know that always we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. We say his teachings are few but very clean, and the halacha always follows Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. V'ilu b'ha amar of Amram amar Rav in halacha k'Rabbi Lazar. Yet when it comes to the halacha of Panuya bala panuya, so that we know the halacha does not follow Rabbi Lazar. Now if that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so then the halacha should follow Rabbi Lazar, to which the Gemara says kasha. Al-Gopanim, that was one explanation in the Machlaikas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. That was the explanation of Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna Amar Rav gave an explanation that the Machlaikas is not really Be'etzem about the child of a Ba'ula, that the Kohen Gadol has with a Ba'ula. Does the child become a Chalal? Rather, the Machlaikas was whether this woman is a Zaina. Everybody agrees the child of a Zaina is a Chalal. The Shaila was, is this woman a Zaina? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that she is a Zaina because Panuya Bala Panuya, a son Zayna, and the Chachamim held that she's not a Zayna. That's why they held that the child's not a Cholel. Rav Ashi Amar a different pshat. Rav Ashi says a different pshat in explaining the Machlaikas, that it's Machlaikas directly about the child that the Kohen Gadol has with a Be'ula. It could be that everyone would agree that the woman in this case is not considered a Zayna. She's not considered a Zayna. The only Isser going on here is the Isser of Kohen Gadol to a Be'ula. And v'yesh chalul michai v'asei kamifligi. The Machlaikas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim is whether or not you say that the child born from chai v'asei, Isser kuhuna, chai v'asei, does that make the child into a chol? By leis asei, amana, grusha, Zayna, so that for sure the child becomes a chalo. The shaila is what about chai ve'asei? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov savor yesh chalo mechai ve'asei, v'rabbanan savor yein chalo mechai ve'asei. Having a machlekes whether or not the child from chai ve'asei, does he become a chalo? Now what's the machlekes based on? It's based off of drashas. My time with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say that the child from Chai Ve'aseh is considered a Cholel? Dechsev, he darshens it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Almana Grusha V'Chalala Zayna Es Eila Lo Yigach. It says that the Kohen is, a Kohen Gadol, is not allowed to marry, he has a Lois Aseh, he's not allowed to marry an Almana, a Grusha, Chalala, Zayna. And the Pasuk then says, it's Eila Lo Yikach, he can't marry any of these. And then it mentions Besula, Ki and Besula Me'am of Yikach. It says that he has to marry a Besula. And what's the next Pasuk after that? Uksiv, and it says right after that, it says, V'lo Yichalil Zarei Ba'amav, that he shouldn't make a Chalul. So what's that going on? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov understood that that's going on Kulhu. It's going on all of the women discussed in the previous Pasuk, Amana, Gusha, Chalala, Zayna, who have Lois Aseis, and also on the Aseis of Ki and Besula, that he has to marry a Besula, the Isra Asei of Be'ula. It's also going on the Isra Asei of Be'ula, that if he's together with a Be'ula, well, then he makes a Chol. So that's how, that was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's Makar, that they're Yesh Chol Mechai V'Asei. Whereas V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say back, that no, Eila Hifsika Inyan. That the lashon of the pasuk was amana grusha v'chalala zayna as eila lo yikach ki im besula. So it says eila lo yikach ki im besula. Eila is coming to tell you that there's a different halacha that applies to amana grusha v'chalala zayna than what applies to the isser of beula. Eila is coming to tell you to differentiate between the two. Now the pasuk doesn't directly tell us now. So now when the Torah then says in the next pasuk that he creates a chalol, so it's coming to tell us that chalol is only going on one. So now, how do we know which one to choose? L'chayra, if anything, Taisus points out, you should choose that it's going on Be'ula, because that's the most recent one that was mentioned. Taisus says that no, we have to use logic, and it would make more sense to say that it's going on Chai V'Lavin than it is to say that it's going on Chai V'Aseh, since Chai V'Lavin are more Chomer. So it makes more sense to say that when the Pasuk then describes a Cholel, that's going back to the beginning of the previous pasuk, which was describing Chai V'Lavin, and Chai V'Aseh do not create a Cholel. Whereas, so what does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov do with that? It says Eila. Eila seems to be extra, seems to be mafsik, it seems to tell us to differentiate between the two groups. Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar, that Eila lemu'ute nida. Eila is not coming to split the groups, Eila is coming to teach us a different halacha, that if a Kohen Gadol has a child with a nida, with his wife, when she's a nida, even though, of course, it's Aser, it's Chayv Kares, Lemaisa, we mentioned previously that it's an exception, that even though it's a Chayv Kares, it doesn't create a mamzer, and who adin? Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we darshan from Eila that it's only through these that a person creates a chalol. But if a kohen gadol has a child with his wife when she's a nida, so not only is the child not a mamzer, but the child also is not going to be considered a chalol. Now says the Gemara that Kaman Azal Hadatanya. Like which one of these shitas does the following brisa go according? Like it says me'ela ata isa chalo v'iata isa chalo minida. It says that you only make a chalo from eila, but from a nida you don't make a chalo. Sounds like we're darshening eila that it's only from these that you make a chalo, but not from a nida. That's kiman Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who just told us this drasha that we darshen from eila, that a kohen gadol who has a child with his wife when she's a nida does not create a chalo. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov nichtevei le'ela lebesayif. So ask the Gemara now. an interesting kasha that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that Eila is not coming to be mafsik, it's just coming to teach us a different halacha. So why does the Torah put this word Eila in the middle of the groups of women? It says Amana Grusha Vechalala Zaynas Eila Lo Yikaf Kiyam Besula. It should have said Lo Yikaf Kiyam Besula as Eila, and then said the word Eila, or figure out a different way to put in the word Eila. But the way it has it right over here in the middle of the group, it seems it's, if it's not coming to be mafsik, then what's it doing in the middle? So it says the Gemara kasha. That's a kasha that's not going to slug up or bleaz ben Yaakov, but that's a good kasha, something to think about why the Torah would have done such a thing. Says the Gemara Vayter now, slightly different topic. The Gemara now is going to move on to discuss the halacha that a kayin, so he's allowed to, even though generally speaking a kayin is not allowed to become tamei meis, for 7 kraivim, so a kayin is allowed to become tamei meis to be Isaac in their kfura. There are seven close relatives that a kayin is allowed to be tamei for. And more specifically, this Gemara, this sugi is going to focus on the mitzvah, even the mitzvah perhaps, the mitzvah that the kohen has to be tamei for his sister. The sister is one of the 7 kraivim, and that's one of the kraivim that he's mitamei for. So the lashon of the pasuk, it's in Vayikra, we just read it this past week, Vayikra perik chaf aleph, pasuk gimel. So the pasuk says, v'la'achaysai habesula hakraiva elav. It says many different adjectives to describe the sister who the kohen is allowed to become tamei for. It says for his sister, habesula, that she's a besula, hakraiva, that's very close, a love to him, asher loy haisa leish, that was never loy haisa leish, we'll see how the Gemara is going to dash into the pasuk, la yitama, that's who the kayin is allowed to become tame for, only for this sister. Lots of different adjectives, the Gemara is going to tell us exactly how to learn the pasuk right over here. So says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, first the machlaikas and halacha, and then we'll go to the pasuk. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. Achaisai Arusa. Let's say the Kayin's sister is an Arusa. She did Erisin with another man. If she did Nisuin, so then she's Haisa Leish. Of course, the Kayin is not going to be allowed to be Tame for her, because it says only Asher Loi Haisa Leish. But what about if she's just an Arusa? So that's a machlokes. Remeir Reb Yuda Aimrim Metamela. They say that he could become Tame for her. And Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon Aimrim, Ein Metamela. They say that no, the kohen is not allowed to become tamei for his sister who is currently in arusa. Anusa umefata. Let's say someone was ma'anis or mefata the kohen's sister, so now she's no longer a besula. So that divrei hakol ain metamela. Everybody would agree that now the kohen is not allowed to be metamei for her because it says achaisei habesula. She's no longer a besula. She's an anusa. She's a mefuta. She's not a besula, and therefore the kohen is not allowed to become tamei for her. Umukas eitz ein metamela divrei Reb Shimon. When it comes to Amukas Eitz, so there, Reb Shimon seems to be all alone, not like his friend Reb Yaisi, who was with him together by Achaisei Arusa, and not like Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, who were against him even by Achaisei Arusa. Reb Shimon seems to be alone about this one. Reb Shimon says Amukas Eitz, the Kayin is not allowed to be Matame for his sister if her Besulim were injured. She was injured and she lost her Besulim, so the Kayin is not allowed to be Matame for her. And why is that? Reb Shimon said a klal. Show you Reb Shimon Aimer. Reb Shimon said a klal to explain Amukas that the kohen gadol mitamela, only the type of woman, only the type of a type of sister that if she would, that she would be technically fit to marry kohen gadol, so then the kohen could be mitamela. She ain't really kohen gadol, ain't mitamela. But a woman who's not fit to marry a kohen gadol, like a mukas eitz, who Reb Shimon holds has the halachic status of a beula with regards to marrying a kohen gadol, so too the kohen is not allowed to be mitamela for her. Ubay garas mitamela divrei Kol Adam is the girsa we have. Some of the girsa divrei hakol. So abaygaras, that is, at least with regards to tuma, so that's considered like a besula. That's considered a chayse a besula. Everybody agrees that the kohen can be metame for his sister, even if she's a abaygaras. Now says the Gemara. So that's the end of the braisa. Now the Gemara is going to go to the psukim to explain all the different shitas. So says the Gemara. My time under Meir Rabbi Yehuda. First of all, what's the reason for Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? The most notably, they were the ones who said by Achaisai Arusa that the kohen is allowed to be metame for his sister even when she's an Arusa. And then they said all the other halachos that were said stam in the Braisa, that was for everybody. So what's the reason for Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda? How do they darshan the pasuk? Says the Gemara, the darshi hachi. They darshan the pasuk as follows. Ula'achayse ha'besula. It says that the kain is metame for his sister. That's a besula. So that's coming to teach us prat la'nuso mefuta. Most obvious is that it's coming to exclude a woman who's no longer a besula. She's an anusa. She's a mefuta. So then the kain is not allowed to be metame for her because she's no longer a besula. Ya'achol sha'ani maisi af mukas eitz. I might think that also the kain should not be allowed to be metame for his sister if she's a mukas eitz because she's also not a besula. Tamu loymar asher loy haisa liish. It says, what type of besula is the kain not allowed to be metame for? His sister, that's a besula. It says that he's only allowed to be metame for his sister, that's a besula. Asher loy haisa liish, that was never together with a man. So you see that even if she's a beula, it's only if she was together with a man. Mishav yasai deish, yatzazu she'enav yasai deish. The only problem for him to be metame for a beula is if it came about through a person. But yatzazu she'en avyasai de'ish, but a mukas eitz, being that she didn't lose her besulim from a person, it happened from an injury, the kain is still allowed to be metame for her. The pasuk describes her also. It says he's metame for his sister, abesula, hakraiva elav. What are these extra words? Hakraiva elav. So Rameir and Rabbi Huda, they dash in each word. Hakraiva is coming to be marbe l'rabbeis ha'arusa. And even if she's an arusa, his sister, he can be metame for her. Hakraiva elav is coming to be marbe more women. Kraiva is coming to be marbe n'arusa. And even if she's an arusa, so the kain could be metame for her. And elav is l'rabbeis ha'begeres. And even if she's a begeres, he can be metame for her. Now ask the Gemara, that halama likra, why does Rameir need to have a pasuk to be marbe a begeres? That Rameir's marbe a begeres from Elov. Elov is coming to be marbe that the kayin could be metame for a sister when she's a begeres. Didn't the pasuk already say that he could be metame for a sister when she's a besula? So doesn't that mean Begeres also? Va'amar Remeir, Besula, afilu miksas Besula mashma. That Remeir is the one who told us when we were discussing the Isser of a Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol, discussing the different drushas on the Testament Aleph. So Remeir is the Shita who said that Stam, when it says the word Besula in the Torah, Besula is mashma even if she only has miksas Besula, meaning even a Begeres. So the Pasuk already says, La'chaisa Besula, Krei Ve'ilav, that he could be metamifer because she's a Besula. She's even a Begeres. Besula includes a Begeres. So why does he need a special drasha of Elov to be married by Begeres? L'chayra, it's included in Besula, because Besula is mashma, even mixas Besula. So says the Gemara, Itzrech, you need a pasuk, because Sal Kedai Techamina, Nelev Besula Besula Mehasa. The Maisa, the end result by the Kohen Gadol, even though Besula is mashma by Begeres, Rameir also then had a drasha, Bivisuleha, to be La'afukia by Begeres, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeres. Because at the end of the day, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeres, even though he marries a Besula. He's not allowed to marry a Begeres, so I might think to learn out Besula Besula from the Isra of a Besula, of a Bula to a Kohen Gadol, and say that Ma has malahala naira afkan nami naira. That just like over there, the Kohen Gadol has to only marry a besula, has to only marry a naira or a katana. So to over here, only a naira, but not a begaras. Kamash mulan elav. That's why Rameir needed the drush of elav to be marba a begaras. Now says the Gemara of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, my tamayu. What's the reason for Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon that they had all the different halachas that they said? Most obvious is that first of all they said achayse arusa is aser, that the Kohen is not allowed to be metame for achayse arusa. Also, Rabbi Shimon had another chiddush of mukas eitz, that the kohen is not allowed to be metame for his sister if she's a mukas eitz. So, how did they learn the psukim? Says the Gemara, Darshi Hachi. They learned the psukim like this. Ula achayse ha besula. It says in the pasuk that the kohen is metame for his sister. That's a besula. That's prat la anusa mefuta. U mukas eitz. And also, it's coming to be lafuke mukas eitz. And he's not allowed to be metame for his sister if she's a beula. Meaning, if she's anusa, mefuta, mukas eitz. Obviously, mukas eitz is only going like Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yaisi. So, Rabbi Yaisi, it was Madik from the Braisa, that it's only Rabbi Shimon who said that the Mukas Eitz is a Metamela. But according to Rabbi Yaisi, it could be Metamela. The Gemara will address this soon to explain where Rabbi Yaisi knows it from. But Al Kabanim, right now the Gemara is saying, Lafi Rabbi Shimon, that Lachayse Abasula, that's coming to Labi Lafuke, Anusa Mefutu Mukas Eitz, that the Kohen is not allowed to be a Metamela for a sister in such scenarios. Asher Loy Haisa Alish, So that's prat la rusa. It says that you can't, that you could only be matame for a sister that was loy haisa liish. That's prat la rusa. Now rusa is haisa liish. She had a havaya with an ish. She had a kedushin. She had an erisin with another man. And therefore the kayin is not allowed to be matame for her. Hakraiva, that's the rabbis, Arushas and Eskarsha. Hakraiva Eilav, we said, are both words that are coming to be marred by more people who the Kayan can be metame for. So Hakraiva is the rabbis, Arusa, Shenisgarsha, that right now she's not married anymore. She's an Arusa, Shenisgarsha. And Arusa, Shenisgarsha, the Kayan is allowed to be metame for. And Eilav is the rabbis, Esabaygeres, just like it was according to Rameh and Rabbi Huda. Eilav is coming to teach us that the Kayan is allowed to be metame for his sister, even if she's a Baygeres. Now, ask the Gemara, Hakraiva, the rabbis, Arusa, Shenisgarsha. We just said that they learn out from Hakraiva that the Kayan can be metame for his sister, even if she was once an Arusa, and an Arusa he's not allowed to be metame for. But once she's divorced, so then the Kayin is allowed to be metamefer. Ask the Gemara, really? V'amar Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon told us a klal when he was discussing Mukas Eitz, that the Kayin is not allowed to be metamefer for his sister. That's a Mukas Eitz. He told us a klal that Ruya L'Kayin Gadol Metamela, She'en Ruya L'Kayin Gadol Ein Metamela. That the Kayin is only allowed to be metame for the type of woman that's roy to marry a Kayin Gadol. But a Mukas Eitz, or a woman that's not roy for a Kayin Gadol, is not roy, is a Kayin is not allowed to be metame for her. So if so, how could he marry, how could the Kayin be metame for his sister if she's an Arusa Shenisgarsha? Now she's a Grusha. A Grusha is for sure possible to a Kayin Gadol. So how could the Kayin be metame for his sister that's a Grusha? That's an Arusa Shenisgarsha. So says the Gemara, in a Chanami, I'll pee the cloud, that's what would have came out, but Shani Hasam, the Rabbi Rachmana, Kraiva. Here I have a Reboy, I have Kraiva coming to teach us that even though normally you would have said this klal, that any woman who's not right to a Kayin Gadol, the Kayin can't be metame for, here I have a Reboy, I have Kraiva to be marbet that the Kayin could be metame for her. Well, ask the Gemara, Yachi, if so, if you're making exceptions, so the Mukas Eitz Nami, Rabbi. So why don't you say that there's also a Reboy? Say that the Reboy is for Mukas Eitz. How do you know to say that the Reboy is for an Arusha and Shenis Garsha? Say that the Reboy is coming to be marbet Mukas Eitz, and the Mukas Eitz is mutter for a Kayin to be metame for his sister, that's a mukas eitz. So says the Gemara, because kreiva achas v'loishtayim. Because the word kreiva is lashon yachid, it's mashma, we're only being marbe one woman, not two. Okay, so be marbe one, umar rois. How do you know to be marbe dafka, arusha shenisgar, and more so than the mukas eitz? Maybe choose mukas eitz over arusha shenisgarsha. Before the Gemara was asking that we should also be marbe mukas eitz. The Gemara said no, because kreiva is mashma only one. Fine, so let it be only one, but maybe make it that one mukas eitz. Who said to make it about an arusha shenisgarsha? So says the Gemara, if I had to choose between the two, which one to be marbet, the kain is allowed to be metame for, in Arusha Shenisgarsha or Mukas Eitz, so it makes more sense to be marbet to say that the kain could be metame for an Arusha Shenisgarsha and not a Mukas Eitz. Why? Because ha is avid b'maisa, and ha lay is avid b'maisa. The Mukas Eitz had a maisa danter. She lost her besulem, and therefore it makes sense to be more, that should be more chamer, and that the kain cannot be metame for her, as opposed to an Arusha Shenisgarsha. Rabbi Yosi, ask the Gemara now, that Rabbi Yosi midashavki lebarzuge mechlad mamukas eitz kramer sfirulei. Like we mentioned when we learned the Brisa says that according to Rabbi Shimon, a mukas eitz, if the sister is a mukas eitz, the kain is not allowed to be metamefer. The Brisa says that was Rabbi Shimon shita. From the fact that it doesn't mention Rabbi Yosi, even though Rabbi Yosi was together with Rabbi Shimon in the beginning of the Brisa, it's mashma that Rabbi Yosi agrees to Rabbi and Rabbi Huda when it comes to mukas eitz, that a kain is allowed to be metame for his sister, even if she's a mukas eitz. So ask the Gemara, minale. Where in the pasuk does Rabbi Yosi know that from? That the kain could be metame for his sister, even if she's a mukas eitz. So says the Gemara, miloi haisalish. He learns it from Loi Haisalish the same way Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda learned it from Loi Haisalish. And that the psul is only if she became a beula through a man, but not if it came through an injury through Mukas Eitz. Well, ask the Gemara, that was great for Meir and Rabbi Huda, but how could Rabbi Yosi use the pasuk for that? Va'afikte. Rabbi Yosi already uses this drasha to teach me that an Arusa, that the kain is not allowed to be metame for his sister who's an Arusa, because she's Haisalish, she's together with another man. So says the Gemara that we have two drashas from Loi Haisa Leish. Chan mi Loi Haisa, v'chan mi Leish. From Loi Haisa, I learn out that in Arusa, he's not allowed to be metame for. And from Ish, I learn that that's La'afuke and Mukas Eitz, that he could be metame for his sister, who's a Mukas Eitz. Just a few more lines to finish up the sugya. The Braisa had mentioned, we mentioned that one of the drashas was Eilav L'Rabbi Sabai Geres. According to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yaisi, so we use Eilav to be marbe, that a kohen can be metame for his sister, even if she's a begeres, and she's not a full besula anymore, still he's allowed to be metame for her. Ask the Gemara, va'am Rav Shimon, besula, besula shlema mashma. How could he be metame for if Rav Shimon's the one who says that a besula is, the word besula in the Torah is mashma, besula shlema? Or really the kasha is that really you see from the fact that Rav Shimon is okay with the kain be metame for his sister, that's a begeres, and that's included in besula, so you see that according to Rav Shimon, besula means even mixas besula. So how could when it comes to the isra of a beula to a kain gadol, in that sugya, Rav Shimon said that the word besula is mashma, a besula shlema. You see from our Gemara that it's not true. You see from our Gemara that Rav Shimon shita is that besula is really mashma only a mixas besula, because the kain is allowed to be metame for his sister as a begeres, even though the Tyra said besula. So says the Gemara, that's not shver. Time of the day nami hasam mehacha adaraba. Rav Shimon's makar over there is really from here. It's the darish achi. It's because he darshan like this, that even though it's true, we're saying that he's allowed to be metama for a bageres, it's only because we have a drasha. Mide elov lo rabbi sa bageres, from the fact that you need a drasha of elov to be married by a bageres, so that's mashma mechlad besula, besula shlema mashma. It's mashma that without the reboy, without Elov, I would have said that the Kohen cannot be metame for a Baigeras, because Besula is Mashma, Besula Shlema, so his Makar over there in the previous Sugya was actually from his Drasha over here.